Ya lo hace. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Friday, August 30th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins. It's Friday.
It is Friday, and it's Friday of a long weekend for most of our listeners, I would suggest. So the August long weekend was kind of half and half, but this one, it's Labor Day. Going to be a fun weekend for a lot of people, lots of soccer to watch. Two Canadian Premier League games on Labor Day. Yeah. That'll be fun for the folks in those neighborhoods or for those with a One Soccer subscription. So should be a good time, Kevin. We, of course, will be on the air on Monday because we just podcast in our sleep. But there you go. Happy Labor Day weekend, folks.
Because I guess podcasting is not labor, so we have to work on Monday. That's fine. It's okay. It's it'll be my pleasure to wake up and do a show on Monday. It is Friday. Of course, we're going to preview Major League Soccer a little later on in the show. We'll preview some games in Europe as well, our famous Euro games of the weekend. We take a couple games here and there, and there's a big game that I want to talk about in Serie A tomorrow. We'll talk about that later on. Of course, the draw, the Champions League draw yesterday. But just to start the show, Forge FC last night in San Pedro Sula versus City Olympia. Lost 4-1 on the night, 4-2 on aggregate. The adventure in the CONCACAF League is over.
It is over. At this rate, only two more games till San Pedro Sula is completely eliminated. We keep cutting it in half each time, 4-1 to 8-1. But I prefer to look at the tie as a whole. 4-2 loss on the tie as a whole is not that bad of an effort for Ford, for a first-year team, for a team, as they said quite rightly. Bob Young tweeted that he was amazed that a 100-year club would lose to a six-month-old club. And he was right to be amazed by that, Olympia. Although slightly below the top, the Mexican teams and so on and so forth. It is a team that represents the best in Mexico, or best in Honduras, pardon me, and has traditionally been competitive in the CCL and for Forge and for the CPL to be right there. As I said, 4-2 in aggregate, it's a remarkable story, and I think that it all shows that the league will only get better as the years go on. I think really, Kevin, to analyze it a little bit, what I noticed a lot, and you said off air, once the one goal goes in, and we've seen that movie before. We've saw it, obviously, with the famous game or infamous game we keep talking about, but also other games.
But in the club game. Exactly. I was going to say, in the club game in 2009, the Santos Laguna, a club in Mexico, of course, they're not the best club in Mexico. They're like a mid-table Liga MX club. But in 2009, when the Montreal Impact made it to the Champions League for the first time, they took the advantage 2-0 at home and then traveling to Torreon in Mexico. And then it was, the 70-something minute, and then the floodgates open. It was goal after goal after goal after... I'm getting PTSD just talking about it. But yeah, we've seen that movie before where the Canadian team and a CONCACAF team scoring late in the game. You're right, 4-2. When I look at it that way, 4-2, it's true. It is a great performance by Forge. David Chouinard was able to score in Honduras. Cap tie him. It's always useful to have a Canadian player scoring in Honduras. Put him on the Maple Leaf jersey.
Fair enough. He's the Ian Hume of the game. I think the biggest difference, the top-end talent, I think that when you look at the Forge's top guys, like the Borges, the Beckers, those guys out there like that, they there's a lot of good guys. I put a list of the top 25 players, in my opinion, and the Canadian players in the league. Yesterday, I released LinkedIn Soccer News on Twitter, and if you look at that, there's a lot of Forge players on them. Those top players can compete. Absolutely. The difference, in my mind, is the depth. And that's not necessarily on display during every game, but it certainly wears you down when you don't have that 15 to 25 on the roster that you can rely on reliably, that you can rely on to you don't need to say it twice, Wayne. Anyway, yeah, that you can rely on, too.
It's called an oxymoron, I think, but me and English, we're not necessarily best friends, so I'm not the one to correct you in your English. But I agree with you, and even though Tristan Borges didn't have his best game, I think the fixture congestion was getting to some players, the travel, but of course, Jerry Bengtsson, who wasn't playing in the first game, was suspended, played the second game, and he was a difference maker late in that game. That has to be said. But we're not going to dwell on it. We'll congratulate Forge coach Bobby Smyrniotis and the entire Forge FC and Canadian Premier League for their showing in the first year in the CONCACAF League. No one expected anything, and the fact that Forge had victories, moved on to the round, the second round, is showing great potential and showing that the level of the CONCACAF is exactly where we thought it was going to be. When I say you, it's you and I for years. People saying, oh, it's going to be barely bigger than League One Ontario, barely better than PLSQ. No, it's better than USL, and it's exactly what we thought was going to happen. They are who we thought they were. But they got off the hook last night because City Olympia is good.
Yeah, look, I mean, last thought on this. Obviously, if you want to hear us really dig deep into Canadian Premier League, subscribe to Two Solitudes, where we do it every Tuesday and have some great guests that we can't get anywhere else. Rob Friend this week, if you're looking for that. But on a real TLDR format here, what this league has shown is that if you give players a chance to play, they will sink or swim, and many of them will swim quite well. And I think that it's betraying this idea that these academy kids that came through, you know, TFC, IMC, FC, Vancouver Whitecaps, FC, that came through them can't play, because in, you know, Vancouver's case, they lost to a team in Calgary that had a few of their former academy players playing against them, right? So it's Carducci included. It is an absolute illustration of that, of hashtag play the kids, and the NPL has to play the kids, and they're excelling. And look, and in some cases we're the other side too. I think that's been almost, I hate to throw him under the bus, but like a guy like Marcus Haber coming back and not dominating the league is much excitement to me. He plays for Pacific, if you don't know, because it shows that the kids can play, and we discover guys like Tristan Borges, you know, players like that have absolutely shown that they belong in the conversation moving forward. All right, Kevin, that's not the main gist of today's show.
To add to what you're saying, if you would have seen De Jong play this year, virtually because of injuries, he's not going to play the ruptured Achilles tendon for Marcel De Jong. But if we would have played for Pacific, we would have maybe seen the same thing we see with Haber too. Like, well, man, this is better and a little bit more difficult than I thought. That being said, let's move on with our regular scheduled programming here. On Friday, yesterday, Dwayne, it was the Champions League draw. And it was an entertaining draw where Messi and Ronaldo sitting next to each other having a lot of great conversations. And people around the world want to know, what were they saying to each other?
Ken knows. I want to know what the hell he was saying more than those. But yeah, for sure. The great rivalry of our time when it comes to the sporting aspect, I think, and, you know, this is right there with Fraser Ali and the great sporting rivals of all time in any sport, right? So it is, of course, you want to know what you want to be the fly on that wall. But it'd be more interesting if they were to play in a Champions League final. But I don't know if that's going to happen this year. But, you know, Barca might get it together. Mm-hmm. And Juve certainly is one of the favorites to get there, although Juve, I think, had a pretty tough draw, I would have to say. So lots of fun things to talk about in this draw. And just as a quick aside, you got to love our show, Kevin. We just went from talking about the Canadian Premier League and Olympia and Forge and a CCL qualifier to the UEFA Champions League. Where else are you going to get that?
And now I'm going to recite some poetry, because the UCL draw gave us a moment to remember for a long time. For good and for bad reason, Eric Cantona was presented with a trophy for, like, lifetime achievement and everything. And then he said a speech. I've read it multiple times. I still don't know what the heck he was talking about, Dwayne. Here's a speech for you, Dwayne. Listen to this. As flies to wanton boys, are we to the gods? They kill us for their sport. Soon, the science will not only be able to slow down the aging of the cells. Soon, the science will fix the cells to the state, and so we will become eternal. Only accidents, crimes, wars will still kill us, but unfortunately, crimes, wars will multiply. I love football. Thank you.
Oh, that man's been nuts for years. Like, that's just call a spade here. I mean, he did a karate chip into the crowd, for God's sake.
Oh, my God. Say no to drugs, kids. Don't take drugs. Don't take hard ones because they leave some traces.
I think I have a theory. My ex and I used to have this theory. We called it shock glass theory. And shock, because she was an academic, for those that don't know, a PhD in psychology. So anyway, I'm going to put Andrea. We had this theory called shock glass theory, which spoke to the idea that if you have a great skill in something, that there's only so much room in a human brain, a human capacity to take skills and intelligence. So if you use it all up and pour all of one thing into it, it starts to spill out the side and you lose other stuff as it's spilling out the side, if you follow that sort of visual. And I think that Cantona has some shot glass theory going on there. He's got so much brilliance in the game that he's got nothing left else to provide. So that's what I think of when I hear stuff like that.
We are but flies for the wonton boys of the god. You know what I'm thinking of when I hear this? Wonton. Kind of want some soup. Is it lunchtime yet?
There you go. I can do. My association brain. We just went with Thai. I want some nice Thai, but it's not wonton from Thai. I know, but it's Asian. So there's how my association just went. And if you hear some noise in the background, the Toronto Air Show is this weekend, and I'm directly under the airport. So I apologize for that, but we'll just battle through that.
It's actually not too bad. Let's look at the actual draw itself in the Champions League for the group stage of the 2019-2020 season of the most watched competition in the world. Maybe not in Canada, but now it is across the world, of course, but the zone in Canada. We'll see how league year two goes. Group A, Paris, Real Madrid, Club Brugge, and Galatasaray in Group A. Of course, two massive, massive favorite in this group. Is there any chance Club Brugge and Galatasaray can try to get out of that group? Or should we just give Paris and Real Madrid a ticket already?
Well, Real Madrid's on a down cycle, so let's not completely give them a pass. I would say PSG's the favorite in that group based on Real Madrid's early season form. Galatasaray is a tricky away trip, but they are just now getting back to the Champions League level after several years sort of down in maybe even in the middle of the Turkish league for a while. So the talent gap will be there. But as I said, it is a tough trip. And that's the one thing that I think some people, when they just look at the names and they fail to calculate in, is the travel involved and how that can affect teams both on the Champions League battle and on the home front as well.
It is. It's one of the longest trips in the Champions League is to go to Turkey, to go to Istanbul and Galatasaray for that game. Group B, another great group with a Canadian in that group. Two Canadians in that group, to be fair. And maybe for the first time ever, we'll have two Canadians playing against each other in the Champions League. The Bayern Munich, Tottenham Hotspurs, Olympiakos from Greece, and Red Star Belgrade. I'm not going to try to say in that language. I'm just going to say Red Star Belgrade. And Group B, with two Canadians, Alphonso Davies with Bayern Munich, and of course, starting goalkeeper of the Canadian men's national team, Milan Bojan with Red Star Belgrade.
Well, yeah, Milan Bojan is well played for sure. He is their starting keeper. He was actually a hero of their win over Copenhagen, where he scored a penalty and made, two stops on his own.
Wait a second. He scored a penalty? I missed that.
Yes, he scored a penalty. Well, he scored a penalty in the penalty shootout.
Yeah, of course. That's awesome. Like, made it all the way to the keepers. My favorite moment in penalty shootout.
Yes. Well, that penalty shootout's happening. You can still get it online if you want to. It's Copenhagen and Red Star played in the second round of Champions League qualifying, and it went to, like, I think 24 shots were taken in the shootout. and it was like a muddy bog of a pitch, so a lot of balls were sailing over the mat. So that's what was happening. But yeah, it is kind of fun to watch. And Bourrien does make the stop to win the championship. Did win, score penalty, as they say. Made it a couple other nice stops along the way, and stood in that and watched the ball soar over him a few more times too. So yeah, he's already played a significant role and is a significant player for that club. Now they are the fourth team in that group, but nonetheless, he will play. Will Alfonso Davies play in this?
That's a
different question, although.
Oh, go ahead. I was going to say, you'll play if like they've won their first game and there's just a couple games left. There's just no way they're going to be eliminated. We'll see Alfonso Davies.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. The irony of it is that he might be more likely to play in the Champions League against some of those smaller teams in the group than he would be in some of the Bundesliga games. Although I do maintain that Alfonso Davies will get some significant Bundesliga time this year because he is essentially, you know, he is their young offensive spark off the bench. He is also basically their backup left back. So, you know, I do think he'll get time in the Bundesliga, but I do think he'll probably be more likely to get time in this. And will he play against Red Star? Yeah, as I said, that's possible, and it would mark a historic moment for Canadians, although there have been games played in the Europa League before against two Canadians against each other, and there have been close calls. But in the Champions League proper, men's Champions League proper, to be clear, we understand that in the Women's Champions League it's happened, but in the Men's Champions League, that it has never happened before, so it would be a historic moment.
Group C, Manchester City, Shakhtar Donetsk, Dynamo Zagreb, and Atalanta. In Group C, what do you think about your group?
Yeah, well, I think I'm in tough when I make this trip. No, City obviously is the favorite in there by quite a long shot. Now, the one trickiness to it is the travel. As I mentioned before, there are two East trips in there. I'm sure that Pep would have probably taken a slightly harder touch for a slightly shorter trip if you got it tied inside his mind. But there is no excuse not to win that if you're Manchester City with the resources they have and the squad depth that they have, that they, you know, even on a long trip like that, they should be able to handle it. It is, many people are calling it the group of life. I mean, I think there's another one that I would think is slightly easier because they don't really have a top team in it either, but this one certainly is not. You can't complain if you're a City fan, basically.
We'll get to Group G in a few groups, Dwayne. But Group D, Juventus, Atletico, Bayern Leverkusen, and Lokomotiv Moscow.
This is a fun group, I think. I like this one. I like this sort of evenness of it. I believe that this one is the one you could maybe see a surprise team emerge from, in so much as any of those teams would be a surprise team.
Yeah, that's true. Group E, with the first ever American coach coaching in the group stage of the Champions League, former Montreal Impact coach, first coach in Major League Soccer, and former Red Bulls of New York head coach as well, RB Salzburg head coach Jesse Marsh, will be the first American to coach in the Champions League Group E. But it's going to be tough because he's going to face Liverpool, he's going to face Napoli, and he's going to face Genk as well in Group E.
Yeah, it's a 2-2 group, I think, for sure, in the sense that the battle might be for who gets that Europa League spot. I watched Genk a lot last year when the Pozuelo was going through there. It's a decent side, but you're talking other level when you're in there. And look, the Salzburg sort of is overachieves a little bit. They're dominant in Austria, so they're maybe going to perform a little bit higher, a little bit better than you'd expect from an Austrian team, which that league has not really done much, 50 years or so. So, you know, they're not an easy touch, but it's kind of a 2-2 group.
No, it is. It is two that will go through Liverpool, Napoli, and two that will battle for Europa League. Group F, and that group was funny because none of the teams presented, because you have Barcelona, Dortmund, Inter, and Slavia Prague. What was funny, though, is the owner of Slavia Prague on his chair, and the group is announced, and he starts uncontrollably giggling and laughing because, like, I'm going to face Barcelona, Dortmund, and Inter. I'm not going to win it. I'm not going to score. But I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, but he's going to get a lot of money.
Exactly. When he was laughing, then he started to cover his mouth, and he keeps laughing, and he's giggling uncomfortably. Yeah, that made me smile.
it is the, and you see this with the FA Cup third round draw as well, that when you're a club like Prague, like, yes, you can argue that you want to be in with a chance to get to Europa League, but when someone gives you, if they go in and say and present this to them the day before, are you going to take three world famous teams, and you're probably going to finish fourth with maybe 1 point? Would you take that, you know, when you consider the gates and the exposure that your players are going to get too? So, you know, you might be able to sell them as well. Like, would you take that, or would you rather have a battle for Europa? I think they're going to take that every time. It's a group of death, though. Those are three teams, and one of them's gone.
That's true. But there's another group of death in my mind, which is not what we think, but I'll get to the group of death. But it is for three teams at least. But I think Inter is not there yet.
It's a tricky travel, too, as I said before. True. So they might take points. Whoever they take points off is going to be the team that probably finishes third, is what I'll say.
But Inter is not necessarily at the level of a Dortmund right now. Dortmund might be the best team in the Bundesliga right now, of course, with Bayern. But Barcelona is there, too. Messi's going to be back in a few weeks for the Champions League anyways. But it'll be interesting. Group G. This is the group of life, Dwayne, that you were talking about. Zenit St. Petersburg, Benfica, Olympique de Lyon, and RB Leipzig in Group G. From 1 to 4, I can see, maybe not Zenit, but you take the highest seed in this league, in this group, and that group's wide open. Anyone from Benfica, Lyon to Leipzig can get on a run in the last 2-3 games of this group and maybe win it.
Yeah, there are some too cute by half folks out there that are picking Leipzig to win Bundesliga this year, but I think that they're probably the clear third in that league. You can watch this afternoon against Gladbach if you're interested and have access to Sportsnet. It is a pretty even group. Benfica, obviously a historic team, but I do believe they might be the fourth team in there. So by virtue of what I just said there, I think I'm kind of telling you where I lean, but yeah, it is very, very even. Lyon, I like Lyon. I think that they are a team trending up. You know, if PSG does sell Neymar and maybe starts to readjust how they calculate things, and maybe they could sneak one out in the next few years. But it's a pretty, it'll be an entertaining group, though, because I don't think the other part of that, too, and this is the key to a group of deaths, is it's not necessarily about the best teams in it. It's about the worst team in it. And there's no really terrible team in that group, which means that all of the games will be competitive.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. And same for Group H, Chelsea, Ajax, Valencia, and LOSC. Four teams that on any given day, like Chelsea might be a little bit above everybody else, but a little bit. And on any given day, with the travel mixed with the weather and other intangibles, I can see any team winning that group. We're not going to dwell on that one because I'm going to talk plenty about the Chelsea group in the next few weeks. Dwayne, the time is running, so let's continue. Let's dive straight into our Euro preview. There's one game I want to talk to you about, and it's tomorrow in Serie A. The old gal is facing the best pizza in the world. Juventus versus Napoli, 2:45 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. The winner might have the one shot across the bow for the title of Serie A this year.
Certainly, it is the obvious pick for the best game in all of Europe this year, with apologies to North London folk. Obviously, that's a fun game, historically speaking, the North London derby. But if you look at Napoli-Juve, that is it's not a derby, but it's a classic, right, in terms of the North versus the South and all the sort of cultural differences there, the kind of the different ways those clubs operate. It's a very, very intriguing and juicy matchup. And you know, if Juve is vulnerable, then this will be a great first indicator of that this year. So, you know, I did not pick that as my game because I kind of had the hunch that you might. But I do definitely agree that it is, you know, if you only have 2 hours to spare all weekend, then there are worse ways to spend it, right, than that game. Yeah. It will be a fun one to watch for sure, Kevin. My pick, however, I'm almost feeling like this is charity, but I do also think that there is something to pay attention to this one more than usual in this particular very historic and at times dangerous rivalry, which will renew hostilities again on the weekend. It is, of course, an old firm weekend. We will see several of them this year. This is the first one, but a lot of people do think that this is the best chance in a decade for Celtic to be pushed in Scotland. And again, as we said with Napoli, if Rangers is to have any chance whatsoever to dent and stop Celtic's run to 10 straight titles, they have to get results in these derbies. And you know, the first one goes this weekend. The Old Firm is always, I feel kind of dirty whenever I watch them. And we're going to have to watch them in alternative measures nowadays because the Scottish League doesn't have contract currently.
No. One soccer, get on it. One soccer. Once you call someone in Scotland, make it work.
It's not a bad platform for them either. But anyway, we're going to have to find the ways to watch those things. And I always feel dirty because, you know, the history is not good with those two clubs. It's violent. It's terrible. There's ugly stuff being chanted on both sides.
Yeah, that's true.
There are terrible people on both sides. To paraphrase the idiot below us, there are terrible people on both sides here. And you can say, figure out who you want that idiot below us to be. It can be anyone you want, really.
Because you don't know where we are. Below us could be like figuratively or literally. Who knows? Well, no, it'll be interesting. Let's take a quick look at the Premier League as well this weekend. There's an interesting game. Everton versus Wolves. I thought that's a good game this weekend. It's the Marco Silva derby, but it is interesting. You have a couple of other big games in the Premier League, but it's a quiet one except for the last game on Sunday. Actually, Sunday is a cracker of a day in the Premier League. 9 a.m. Everton Wolves, Dwayne, and then Arsenal Tottenham, the London derby. North London Derby at 11:30 on Sunday. I guess that's the other game of the week in Europe is Arsenal Tottenham.
Yeah, as I said a minute ago, it will be fun. Spurs has a lot to prove after, you know, they got the result against City, didn't look great, but got the point, so you have to give them credit for that. But then they, you know, coughed up the bit against Newcastle. So a lot of pressure heading into a derby that for one of the few times in the history of this derby, they are expected to win. They are the favorite, the definitive favorite in the North London Derby right now, and that's going against history, right? So their fans will be very desperate to not drop points there. Meanwhile, Arsenal is an intriguing team this year that I don't quite know how to place. They seem like a mirror of United to me, Arsenal. In the sense, what I mean by this is that United is a shell of itself, but seems to be trending down, in my opinion, more towards the middle. And maybe that's my bias, but you judge that for yourself. Meanwhile, Arsenal is a shell of its former self, but to me kind of seems to be trending up. But right now they're kind of equal. And I think that that's going to play out. I would still think that Spurs will win this game, but you know, as we saw last week, they still have it within them to be Spursy. And they're going to have that term, that joke, wrapped around their neck until they do win something.
Until they win the league.
Drag it off.
Until they win the league and make people forget. That's what they'll be called. Major League Soccer. Let's look at our bread and butter for this weekend. Dwayne, New York Rebels, Colorado, tomorrow at 7 p.m. Montreal Impact versus DC United at the 7:30. And this will be an entire day of Montreal versus DC United. Two Academy games in the morning and a DC United. Look at the Twitter account of the Academy of the Montreal Impact if you want to make it a full day out of it. If I'm you, that's what I'll do. I go to see the Academy versus DC and you finish it off at Stade Saputo by seeing the Montreal Impact face a Wayne Rooney-less DC United. Columbus, Chicago at 7:30 tomorrow night. New England, Toronto. This game is fascinating, Dwayne, because the winner of this game puts themselves in a position to be above Montreal in the playoffs if Montreal loses on the day.
Yeah, well, we're above DC. Yeah, regardless,
true.
If Montreal wins the game, they'd still drop over DC for sure.
Wow, that rock fell quickly. Anyways.
No. Both these games are huge, right? The DC Montreal game and the Toronto New England game are massive. I don't know who you're cheering for. If you're Montreal, I don't know if you're cheering for New England or Toronto, or if you're other than the rivalry stuff. And if you're Toronto, I don't know if you're cheering for DC or the Impact other than the rivalry stuff. Because really, probably both set of fans are kind of secretly hoping for a draw in both cases, right? Because they're all four of those teams are battling it out in that same basic area. So this is what the end of the year looks like, though. It's, you know, you can't rely on games in hand, because often the teams that you're playing are, you know, also going to be playing other teams that you're trying to chase. It gets very confusing to try and do math, you know, this time of year. But you just win your games is the key, obviously.
That's it is.
You know, the New England's been a not a pleasant place for Toronto over the years. They have lost a lot of games on that turf. They've had some serious injuries take place in that turf at various times. So it seems like a haunted ground for them. It's, you know, it's like almost like you're going in to play the Patriots for some reason instead of the Revs when you're TFC there. But if they are as good as they think they might be, then they need to win. They need to get a result in this game. And that's what I'll say. And look, I think in both these cases, I'll make a bold claim right now, a guarantee. Save this tweet type thing. If Toronto wins or New England wins or Montreal wins or DC wins in those games, I'm going to say that's going to be enough to make that team 90% safe for the playoffs. If there's a win by any of those four teams in those games.
That's big.
Because the points are that tight right now that if you get ahead by a few, then you have the advantage moving in.
And just, I think it's important to mention too, because those four teams will be probably the four teams battling for playoff spot number 7 or 6, depending of DC as well and the other results.
Five to eight is what they'll be going for. Yeah.
Exactly. So one thing we have to realize too is the strength of schedule. And Montreal has the easiest schedule of all the teams facing each other in the playoff battle because of playing at home and because they're facing a lot of teams that are below them in the standings or have a below 500 record. So the Montreal Impact do have an easier schedule than the rest of their playoff opponent. So that's a positive. Philly, Atlanta, Dallas, Cincinnati later on Saturday, SKC Houston, Vancouver, NYCFC, San Jose, Orlando, and Portland, Real Salt Lake. Just quickly, Dwayne, yesterday as well, it wasn't official, it wasn't announced, but Chris Wondolowski was talking to a reporter, and he was asked, so, you were saying earlier this year, and after last year, you were really exhausted, and you mentioned this might be your last year in 2019. Then Chris Wondolowski answered, yeah, it's true, but we got a new coach this year, Matias Almeida, and I've rediscovered, he has rekindled my love and my passion for this sport. And I can see myself playing one more year. One more year of Chris Wondolowski.
Yeah, and I think with him, and we talked about this earlier in the year, that when it looked like he was done, it was a combination of things. Both he wasn't playing as well as he would have liked, and also San Jose, that time, we thought was horrible, because they were horrible last year. But they've since found a playoff form. So if you're Wondolowski, you probably, and you found a role with him where you're starting a lot, but he's managing you a little bit, and you found, you know, some players there that you can mentor, and you're having fun again. So I can see, yeah, and you, more to the point though, you think you can win because it's MLS and you never know.
And hell, he scored goals. Another 10 plus goal season for him. That's amazing. It's over 10, right? That's awesome.
Yeah, it's been almost, what, 8 years in a row he's done that or something. So yeah, it's he's the all-time leading scorer, and well, retire that way. Eventually, you will see Martinez probably pass him. Martinez is going to play a few more years in MLS, and I suspect he will leave it the all-time leader because the years are changing. But sure. But nonetheless, it's in many ways Wondolowski is kind of a different kind of leader, and I think might be the all-time leading American scorer for quite some time, and that's its own sort of special honor, I think, as well.
Portland RSL, last game Saturday night, and then Sunday, two games, Seattle Sounders versus the LA Galaxy, LAFC versus Minnesota United's are the game this weekend, Dwayne. It's going to be a good weekend. It's going to be a good weekend of football, and we're going to come back on Monday to talk about it.
Yeah, quickly before I leave, if you do have a One Soccer subscription, I do encourage you to find some time to also watch the League One Ontario Women's Final, which will be broadcast on One Soccer at 7 o'clock or 7:30. Pardon me, you can look that up, 7 or 7:30 on Saturday. But of course, we'll be available on replay if you can't watch it at that time. And I know that there's a couple of MLS games that are going on at the same time, but you can watch it on replay. And as a former employee of League One Ontario, as an advocate for the league, I'm just going to give it a quick little prop there. especially on the women's side, it's important to employ to support your local soccer in some simple way that you can. And there's a lot of talent. And it's a fun game. And it's Oakville versus London, in case you're curious. And watch that game.
Let's go Oakville, is what I'll say. On that note, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute and myself at Kev Laramie. This show at Soccer Today SPN. If you like to hear Dwayne and I talk about Canadian soccer and Canadian soccer only, consider supporting us on Patreon, patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. $2 a month will give you access to the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast, 4 shows a month talking about Canadian soccer and Canadian soccer only. On that note, we're now available on Spotify. You can find every podcast of the Sports Podcasting Network, every feed on Spotify as well. That's on top of Google Play Store, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere or everywhere you get your podcasts. Until Monday, as always, you can listen to our show Monday to Friday live on social media, Twitter, at Soccer Today SPN at 11 a.m. And you can find the podcast versions of all our shows at SportsPodcastingNetwork.com. Until Monday, as always, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.